A good nerve Shabbos, everybody. We're holding on daf. Well, today's daf is Mem Tes. We're still holding on daf Mem Tes Omid Beis. So yesterday, we discussed the dinim of what happens if we find a needle in the Reya. We talked about finding in the Reya. I'm okay. Thank you. Needle in the Reya or in a piece of Reya. We discussed that certainly. And we talked about what's considered to be a schema. Very important, you saw that we're not able to learn out from one trefa to another type of trefa. And today, we're talking about also something similar to yesterday, about a machad. And this time, instead of finding the machad in a reya, in a piece of reya, or in the sampun and rab of the reya, which was the case yesterday, and he machta, today we're up to the case 5 lines from the bottom, in which he machta di shtakach b'chatikha de kav. A piece of liver was found with a needle buried in it, a sewing needle buried in it. So Sover Mar Bereder of Yosef, Lemitrafa. Mar Bereder of Yosef said, well, it's treif. Said Rav Ashi, well, what do you mean it's treif? The liver is a piece of meat. Yishtakach bebisra. If you would have found in a muscle somewhere, you would have found a needle. Kahagav. Avitorit Mar. Well, you would have said it's treif. I mean, the fact that a needle is in the liver doesn't mean a darn thing. The question is, how did it get there? It depends really which direction the needle is facing. The question is like this. If the head of the needle, the hole of the needle, which is the thicker part of the needle, is facing outside. So in other words, it's outside of the liver, the sharp point sticking in. We have to assume, therefore, it came from the outside, was swallowed, punctured somewhere along the digestive system, and let's say, the dakin is the most reasonable place, but wherever it is, a hole there is definitely a trefa. And the fact that the liver doesn't become a trefa just because you got a hole in it, that's not the issue. How did it get here? Must have punctured from the vesha down is going to cause the trefas. Ikupa the gav. On the other hand, if the hole of the needle, which is the thicker part of the needle, is facing inside of the liver, it certainly hasn't punctured its way in with the dull side. So then it's more reasonable to say that sampuna nokat vasoi. What happened is that it got into the vena cava in the place where it's next to the kone. That doesn't cause any problem. So it punctured its way indeed down into the liver, but so what? Down into the liver through the kanes doesn't cause any problem, and continuing puncturing the vein into the liver isn't a problem, doesn't cause a tarfus. And then now it's in the liver, so it's a big deal. Says the Gemara, however, of course, the difference is only if there really is a blunt edge. How do you mean to be halimta? It's only a needle where the size of the hole is such that it makes that side of the needle blunt. Of a kaptinta, if it's a thin, tiny sewing needle that has a tiny hole, then it can just as easily puncture the stomach with the blunt end, so-called blunt end, which is also quite sharp. So the kaptinta, loshna kupala gava, loshna kupala var, being as it's so much more reasonable to say that a needle was eaten rather than was aspirated, there we'll say is that it's probable that it's a trefa, even if it's facing with the duller side. Well, somewhere, whatever, stomach, the intestines. I mean, they're all in the kudos. Yeah. Now, wait a second over here. You're telling me that there's a major difference between the blunt part of the needle and the sharp part of the needle. But we find a similar case where that is not true. Because the din is, if you find a needle that's sticking into the lining of the Beit HaKasot, and remember that the lining of the Beit HaKasot, which comes right after the keres, is quite thick. As a matter of fact, it's doubled. So it says, "Avdir it's mitzad echad kshira, mishnei tzadim trefa." Do we have a nice picture of the Beit HaKasot lining? I think early on there was a nice picture of the Beit HaKasot. Well, here we go. Yeah, I guess this is all right. 65. Here they showed, they took out the Or HaPnimi. They showed the difference between the Or HaPnimi and the Or HaKitzon. If you take a look on page 65 on the lower right, so you can see over there the membrane that's been pulled out to show the thicker membrane. So over there, if you have a needle sticking in only to the inside, it hasn't punctured all the way to the outside, so it's kosher. Now, it should depend, shouldn't it, what direction it's facing. Because you would say, according to you, that blunt sides of needles don't penetrate organs. So if this is a blunt needle, and the blunt side is sticking into the membrane of the Beit HaKasot, then how do you explain the fact that it's got there unless it's on its way in from the outside? And it's worked its way in other words, it has punctured already, let's say, the veshet, or maybe it's even passed all the way through, come out through the intestines now, pushing its way back into the reticulum over here, and you got it right at the point at which it's about to fall inside and the blunt side is still left in the stomach lining here. You don't see a hole? Fine, the hole is sealed up. I mean, that doesn't prove anything. Because, I mean, after all, if we're going to assume that blunt sides of needles don't penetrate, so how did this penetrate? Then over there it doesn't say any difference. Lorman looks at that. Nobody said, take a look first, ikupala var, ikupala gav, where is the hole? Is the hole facing inside? Is the hole facing outside? So apparently we are ready to accept that a blunt needle, the blunt side of the needle, the hole of the needle, is yet likely to penetrate an organ. Says the Gemara, come on, there's no comparison. I mean, that's a Beit HaKasot. I mean, awesome, kiva dika ochlu numashka. The Beit HaKasot is very active. I mean, that's that's where, remember, the cud is actually formed. So, of course, you have over there, you have all kinds of things flowing through it, and you have muscles that move it, and you have, there, of course, it's possible, even though it's certainly possible that a needle that is facing even blunt side towards the membrane is going to puncture with the blunt side. Here we're talking about the liver sitting still, behaving itself. How the heck did a blunt edge of the needle get in that fashion, unless it was coming from the other direction, and the sharp edge came in, and that's how it got there. So, in this case, I would say, now, we have a similar case. Interestingly, yesterday we distinguished between finding a needle in the lung tissues and finding a needle in the sampun, so to speak, in the kona, which was basically the equivalent of the sampuna. Remember, we call a sampuna a kona, could be the sampun of the rea, is the bronchial tube, which is the continuation of the kona, or the sampun of the cave, of the covid, which is also a tube, but of course it's a vein, it's not an air tube. But we use the same word, it just means a tube. So here we also have, the first case was you found in the actual meaty portion of the liver, you found the needle. And in this case, we found a needle inside of the actual vena cava at the point of the liver. So, So what about this? Now, yesterday we said that even the Rabbanan Shulfoi were unwilling, if it was found in the kona, it's not reasonable to say that it just happened to work its way into the kona after having gone all the way from the outside. It's already much more reasonable to say it was aspirated. So over here, Huna Mar Breda Ravidi said it was treif, and Ravada Barman Yumi was marcher it. And the problem was that Huna Mar Breda Ravidi actually took the meat and fed it to the dogs, just to make it very clear that there was no spakus about his psak. And they came and they asked Ravina, And he said, well, if the guy doesn't have any money to pay back, take his coat off his back and sell it to pay back for his wrong sock. Shkilu gulima d'trufoi, take off the clothes from the one who is matrefit to pay him back. Because there's no reason to say, if in a case where you find it in the Sampuna Rabba, you're telling me that it just happened to work its way out of the veshet or somewhere in the digestive system, came the dafka through the coven, happened to find its way right there into the sambu. Come on. But it's much more reasonable to say that since the kona and the vinakava pass straight by each other, or according to Rashi, mitpaled. You remember we had the sugi before that talked about shrosha kani, which Rashi says they're actually mitpatzel. We went through that whole sugi, whether it's referring to the various blood vessels coming out of the heart, or whether it's including veins and arteries and air passageways altogether. This is where Rashi actually shows that the sugya earlier, even though it sounds strange, because a naive reader who didn't know this Gemara and who was reading the Gemara before would say, isn't it the most reasonable thing in the world to understand the shloisha kone as referring to the pulmonary artery and the aorta and the vena cava? They're all plugging into the heart. Now, those are the shloisha kone that we're talking about for the lathe. And yet, for some reason, Rashi insists it's a reference to the kona of the rea. But this is why. It's because the sugya over here, as Rashi sees that sugya as laying the groundwork, essentially, for my understanding that these various things pass by each other, and therefore it's reasonable to suggest that a needle worked its way through the kona into the vena cava. Okay, as I said, the problem with that is that the direction of the blood flow would be in the other way. But again, since you're talking about over here movement and you know, something getting pushed by the way the animal is walking, it's not a fatal objection. It might be a fatal needle. So,
in a human body can cause this. You go straight to the heart.
It can, yeah.
I mean, not to the digestion.
In the animal also, it can. Obviously, it can. Yeah. Actually, we're going to get cases of worms, which are likely to cause that kind of damage. It'll eat through organs. And we'll get to that later. Now, there's another interesting case. Hayikshita dishtakeach b'mara. There was a date pit that was found in a gallbladder. That's really a good one. It's a good thing you didn't find a woman's muffler. I mean, but this was a date pit found inside of the gallbladder. That's probably what it was. But it looked like a date pit. No, it was clearly a date pit to them. So how did it get into the gallbladder? So how did it get there? Omer Rashi ki avina be Rav Kahana. So when I was by Rav Kahana, Omer havadai simpuna nogad vasoi. This definitely got there through the vein or through the connection of the. Here we have the. I think we do. Or was it before? We had a very nice picture of the gallbladder lung relationship. What page? Huh? It was earlier, right? Okay, so this definitely, the way to understand this is that it made its way through the kona without causing any kind of trephus, because it made a hole, got into the vena cava, and from there it made its way from the liver to the gallbladder. Where is it on the 59? Bottom right, okay. So it made its way into the gallbladder. That's probably how it got there. In which case, it followed the path of that needle yesterday and worked its way into the gallbladder. Now, even though, now over here, we can really test it. As we can see, does it fit? If start pushing on it, it's a little difficult to believe that you can, I mean, this thing must have had a pretty bad block. What do you call the tube from the gallbladder?
The
bile duct, yeah. It must have had a pretty badly blocked bile duct if this thing was in it. And indeed, this is a gallstone. Will do exactly that kind of thing. So here, afal gav v'loko nafik. We try pushing it out of the bile duct, but it ain't going anywhere. So how did it get in if it can't get out? And as we're assuming that you're telling me it was pushed in from the liver. How did it get in? It doesn't fit. Because miravilu the ravilu. You see, the fact that something can be gradually rotated and pushed as the animal's walking and it keeps over a period maybe of years, it was gradually pushed in there. That doesn't prove anything. It might have gone in one direction. Doesn't mean you can push it out now. So therefore, it doesn't prove that it didn't come from there. Now, of course, this is only if it's a date pit. But if it's a zesa mivzabaza, if it's a pit of an olive, then we have to assume that it actually was sharp enough to cut its way in, and it came from the outside. And therefore, says Rashi, it's what Rashi does. Therefore, says Rashi, if you hold that a needle is a problem, and you're not going to be samech on its having come through the kana, then this will also be a problem, and if you're not chayish for a needle, you're not. This bothers Tosfos, because he says, L'maisa we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, and it was machshir throughout the sugyava with the needle. So why would we say hani mile, which would be shaloki okasa? Therefore, Tainis Tosfos, even Rabbi Yochanan, who, when it comes to a machat, would say we're tela, over here, he would say we would not be tola. Because since it's difficult to believe that this thick seed worked its way through the sampoon, it's more reasonable to say that since it's got a sharp edge, that it pushed its way in through the veshet or through the somewhere in the digestive system and worked its way in from the outside rather than having been rotated in gradually. So according to Tosfos, this, even if you hold a machat, which is kosher, an olive pit would not be kosher. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Lama nikra shema re'a. Why do we call a re'a a re'a? Shemeira et einayim. Because the lung brightens your eyes. Iboilu la'achila o'ayedei samanim. Does that mean if you eat it, just you eat lung? Or does it mean that it can provide a good ingredient which is useful in the right medication, obviously. There's elements of the lung that you can derive from a lung and put it in with other things. And no, not necessarily nutrients. Maybe some actual chemical that's needed for something in the eye. But just eating a lung is not going to help you. Toshma, Yom Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. Well, the way Rav Huna Bar Yehuda put it is you pay a buck for a goose, but four for its lungs. So, Avza Bezuza V'Rea Didavi Arba'a. Now, Isak Dedek L'Achila, if you're going to tell me that the lung is good just for eating, why spend four for the lung if you could buy the whole darn thing for one? So just buy it for a zuz and eat it. Obviously, when we say the lung is good, it means you buy medication and that is included, lung in the medication. But that's very expensive. That's what it means. The rea as prepared for your eyes would be for, you know, the famous story of the player and the Jew that were sitting in the same compartment on the train. The Polish player, farmer over there, anti-Semite, is sitting there making comments. Yeah, John Foster Dulles was sitting with a Jew, and it's a long trip, and he's making his anti-Semitic comments the whole time. The Jew takes out his herring, and he's cutting off the tails of the herring, preparing it to eat. So I think this player makes a comment about it. What are you cutting the tails off for? And he says, what do you mean under the tail of the herring are very valuable because they make you smart? Make you smart. And he says, he's considering the opinion. He says, give me one of the tails. Give me one of the tails. I mean, the tail's the most valuable part. You'll pay me, four rubles for the kopecks for the tail. I'll give you a tail. So he pays him, eats the tail. He's sitting there and he's thinking, he's saying, hey, wait a minute. The whole darn herring doesn't cost 4 rubles. Why am I paying 4 kopecks? Why am I paying 4 kopecks for the tail? But it works. See, it works already. Great story. So this is. Yes. So I guess the Gemara's obvious for a moment was you do it like the player. Anyways, obviously, if you're paying extra money for the lung, it must mean that it's prepared for the lung. Next question is this. Suppose we took out the lung, now we're being voided, and we find that there's a hole, but the hole is in an area that the butcher has handled. And the question is, I mean, Talina, should we assume that he made the hole? I mean, he was pulling at the lung and so on. Although, Talina, do we have to say, well, if you don't know you made a hole, you find a hole, you have to assume the hole was there from before? Ravada Barnasan Amar Talina. Now, actually, it's clear later on that it's not Ravada Barnasan, but it's Ravaka Barnasan, as we'll see. So he says, Talina, Marzutra, Berater of Mari, Amar Lo Talina. And the halach is, we are Talina. Amar Shmuel Berater of Yavu. Shmuel Berater of Yavu said that his father was Mireshi Kali Darah from Havid. He was from the heads of the Kala lectures that were given by Rav Ram. And so he thinks that he used to say over various shiurim, he quoted over Rav Ram's dvorim in public. And therefore you can rely on him. I mean, he was very up close there with Rav Ram. V'yomar Talina. And he said that you can rely on it, that's Talina. Amrua loha kameda marzutra. Brader of Mori v'lo kibla. They said this over to Marzutra, Brader of Mori, who said, Lo Talina, and he wasn't Mekab. Omer of Misharsha. Kabosi de Avua di Abba Mistafa. So Rav Misharsha said, nonetheless, it's very reasonable to follow my grandfather, and this is how we know that the reference before was to Ravaka Barnasa. So, in other words, if we say the Girsa Ravada Barnasa, there wasn't anybody here who was Rav Misharsha's grandfather. And the reason that I say it's reasonable, like him, and that we should be Taylor, is the Talina Bezeiv. Remember, we had the Sugi before that if a fox comes along, grabs the intestine, gives it back, and has got holes in it. Then we're saying that the fox was the source of the holes. We don't say, well, it was a hole here before and so on. It's the same type of thing. I mean, we have a basis to say that there's a problem. So if that's the case, then let's assume that that's the problem that was caused by the basis, namely the butcher has touched it. Now, this lemaisa gets into the question of a chazaka of kashas, which the Gemara seems to be assuming. If we paskin that we can be tailor in this fashion, that we have no reason to assume that there was a hole there. In other words, because we're comparing over here, to say that it's similar to the case of Zeev is a little bit weird. By the Zeev, the normal would have been that we don't check the intestines. We're not cautious for the intestines. So if a fox takes intestines and brings them back when they have a hole in them, so we're saying to ourselves, no, not that these intestines have a hole, the one that was taken by the fox. Undoubtedly, the fox made the hole in the intestines when he bit at them. But when we're talking about a lung, the reason that we took the lung out in the first place is because we don't like to rely on lungs not having holes. As a matter of fact, we must be biting the lung because we're conscious that it does have a hole. So, I mean, what's the Gemara talking about over here? It's completely different cases. So you see from here, L'chora, this is some bring a Raya, that the halacha of the cheskas kashrus on an animal applies to the lungs as well. Vaharaya, you drink milk from an animal. Go to an animal, take milk out of you, drink milk. Why do you drink milk of it? If it lost its cheskas kashrus, you can't check its lungs. And you're telling me, well, I mean, it used to, once upon a time in the old days, it used to have a cheskas kashrus. But nowadays, we've got so many problems with the lungs, it doesn't have a cheskas kashrus. What are you drinking milk for? It's just as bad as eating meat. So it comes to meat, all of a sudden, everybody's mock. It comes to milk, it's milk, it's no problem. It's the same Dreyfus. It's amazing when you look at it that way. It's ultimately the same Dreyfus.
It's
straight. Yeah. You got him in a tummy stomach. Unbelievable. Yeah, it's the same thing. A tray for animals, milk is just it's like drinking from a pig. It's a tray for animals.
And the milk that we get is the equivalent of the meat in this country, so therefore if you only look like black, you really shouldn't be eating anything milk, you're saying?
That's what the question is. I mean, I've just introduced that question, haven't I? Well, wait a second. So Lechora, you've got to say, based on this, that the Cheskas Kashrus is still in effect. That the Chachamim, however we understand it, at whatever point it worked out this way, was a specific takana, when it came up with changes, whether it was the time of the Gainim, whether the Gemara, there's all kinds of discussions about it. But certainly, it seems to be a Chumrah against the Chazorka. That since it's something that is Matsui, so we don't want to rely on the Chazorka when we don't have to. Where is this Nogea again? If the lungs were lost. Let's say you shepherd an animal, set the lungs down, and the guy comes along and dumps it into a dumpster and drives off. And then, well, why didn't the Badiki get him the lungs? Well, it's okay, you got a Chazorka Kashrus. So in other words, to what extent are we Chayshish over here? Now here it seems to be saying it's not really essentially different from the Mayayim. That's if you have the opportunity to check and you're Mokul, you have to check. If not, so then you're relying on the chazaka, the same way you relied on the milk. Now, obviously, the question of there's a lot of discussion about a case where it was avad, the reya was avad, whether that's already included in once it needed to be checked before you were allowed to eat it, whether now you can say, well, it's avad, what am I supposed to do? Let me rely on the chazaka. That's already a further complication. But you can see that it's very important for us to define what the mocker of these halachas are, why it is that it wouldn't include problems on milk as well if it includes problems on milk. Murana, how about worms?
The chazaka is built on the majority.
No, the chazaka is that when an animal is born, there's no reason for us to assume that it's anything but kosher. And therefore, to change that status why change it? The halacha always says follow what your status is now. Now how about worms? You're holding a rea, and out crawls a worm, and you look around, and there's other holes with worms crawling out now. Now the question is, did those worms crawl out while the animal was alive, or did it crawl out after the shechita? So here, too, it's a question, in other words, do we have a cheskas kashrus, and we'll therefore assume the worm crawled out later? Pligi bar Rav Yosef bar Dusoi bar Rabbanan, charam rekelem shkita parish, v'charam liyachar shkita parish, v'yokas liyachar shkita parish. Here, too, we're saying from the chazaka, the animal was kosher, now that we see there's worms, because some of them came out after shkita.
They were in the organ before.
No, they grew in the organ. They came to a bloodstream, grew up, and now work their way out. As I told you yesterday, that's the fourth time. It was not bad the first time.
But they're being in there, eating properly of the organ.
That's Chisar Mibifnim, we don't pass Chisar Mibifnim as a problem. Right. So you do get these cases in which you have the heart destroyed by a worm, or the case I spoke of yesterday, in which the brain was punctured by a worm. In humans, I'm talking about. But again, as a chazaka, we're not going to be fine with it.
In the intestines, worms are not a problem? In the intestines.
In the intestines, that's the perfect place for worms. They get lots of nourishment. Yeah, no. I mean, do they live in the intestines? That's the hanyavidyasayu. I mean, they don't puncture the intestines usually. They just enjoy themselves.
In this case, you saw the worm, and you obviously had a hole too. He would be tricked.
Good point.
If he had a hole too, he had not checked this particular thing. Like if it was
right here, you saw. You mean? I mean, if it just found the hole, obviously, I would have had to say it was before. I see the worms. I know that it's a wormhole. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Achitinake. So Rabbi Shimon holds that if the sarin in the rea has to puncture the sampunas, Omer Rabba Bar Tachlifon Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, what that means is Achitinake v'sampun gadol, not just to a one of the bronchi, but rather into the sampun hagadol. Yossi Rav Acha Bar Abba kamed Rav Kahana. Rav Acha Bar Abba was sitting in front of Kahana, Ravuna rather. The Yossi v'Kamar, and he was saying, Omar Rabbi Meloch, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. That the Halacha, in fact, was quoting Rav Meloch, and saying that the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So Ravuna said to him, what, you're talking about Meloch Arava? You're quoting from Maloch, you mean from Arabi? Ain't Allah like Rabbi Shimon Kamar. He said exactly the opposite. He said Allah is not like Rabbi Shimon. When Rabbi Zera went up there at this road, Ashkechela Rabbi, he found Rabbi sitting and teaching Omer Rabbi Maloch, Omer Rabbi Shimon, Levi Allah from Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Zera says, well, I want you to know, Chayit Amar, I swear, me, together with Rabbi Baraba and Rabbi, the three of us happened to visit Arvim, where Rabbi Meloch lived, Naklin and Lahas of the Rabbi Meloch, and we decided to find out what did he say about Rabbi Shimon. And we said to him, is it true, they're quoting you, Yomar Mar Halochik Rabbi Shimon, did you pass him like Rabbi Shimon? And he said, oh yeah, right. In Halochik Rabbi Shimon. What I said was, Halochik is not like Rabbi Shimon. Matter of fact, when they quote me, you can usually invert it, and that's closer to the quote. So that was the end of that. So then Rabbi asked Rabbi Zera, so do you have any further information, Lamaisa, about the psak? What do we do with Rabbi Shimon? If you're telling me according to Rabbi Meloch, ain't a look at Rabbi Shimon. It's a hot mavi adecha. What do you have to say about it? Omalei hochi om Rabbi Yitzchak Barami om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. A look at Rabbi Shimon. But you can forget that. Ain't a look at Rabbi Shimon anyway. That's the final word. In terms of the
sugya.
Nikva har akeva. The next case we had is where there is a hole in the keva. Now, what's important for us, even though it sounds like a tangent. No, Rabibi has Rabbi Zera. And no, the analocha is the Gemara. That's not. He said I heard that it was. But this is a sock of the Gemara. Rashi says this was like the final bezd in the yeshiva achreina, that they throw in these psakim afterwards, and they're thrown into the Gemara as the psak of the sugya. Correct. And then the sugya turns around and says, but lemais, analocha Rabbi Shimon. Now we're about to embark on what sounds like a tangent, because we have not reached the sugya of chelev to be discussing which chelev is mut or which chelev is asur. But as we shall see, defining which chelev is which is important in terms of treifas, strangely enough, because there's a difference between chelev and shuman in its ability to seal a hole. And therefore, we start with the sugya in the following way. Mishnah talks about one of the treifas being a hole through the stomach, Amrav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni, Amrav Osha, Chelev Shehal Gabe Kiva, Kohanim Nahagu Bo Heter, Kerabi Yishmo Shamar Mishum Avotav. The Kiva is usually given to the Kohen, in a chulin animal. Right, we give to the Kohen the Matonot, which is the Zroa, the Lechayim, and the Kiva. So the minhag of the Kohanim has been to eat the fat that's on the keva, not to remove it. There's semech on the shita of Rabbi Yishmael, who was quoting his forefathers. And the way to remember who says what, if you don't remember who said this, simanecha Yishmael kani misayeh kani. You've got to remember Rabbi Yishmael was a Kohen, and he always takes the side of the Kohanim. So over here, to be matir, the keva, there he is again, being matir, the chelav of the keva, for Kohanim to save them above. Why do we call him in general the one who helps Kohanim? Why do you say that? Mahi, the Tanya. The reason that he got that name, and we're not going to call him that name just based on this case, obviously, we need to see some pattern. But where did we see this before that we can make this the siman? Because in the Birkas Kohanim, we find an interesting law. It says, Ko tevorchu et b'nei Yisrael, and then it ends, V'ani avorachem. So, I mean, what's the point of the ani avorachem? If it says Ko tevorchu, I mean, what else but ani avorachem, no? So Rabbi Yishmael says, well, it says Ko tevorchu et b'nei Yisrael, so lamadnu bracha l'Yisrael mipi Kohanim. You see over here a bracha to Yisrael from Kohanim. Where do you see a bracha to Kohanim? The Kohanim don't get a bracha. They give the bracha. The Kohanim atzmam lo lamadnu. That's why it says, ani avorachem. I'll give the bracha to the Kohanim, is what it means. So, kishvomer, ani avorachem. Abi omer, Kohanim mevorachim leYisrael, vakadosh baruch hu mevorach leKohanim. Rabbi Akiva says, no. Lamadnu bracha leYisrael mipi Kohanim. The way to understand ani avorachem is that God says, bless the Jews. How does that teach us that God blesses the Jews? I mean, maybe it's just the duty of the Kohanim that they should be like a mevorach. But where does it say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha to Yisrael? It means they should intone the bracha, Kohanim avorachim leYisrael, vaKadosh Baruch Hu maskim al yadam. Which Rabbi Yishmael holds is not important to learn that out, because as Tosis points out, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you should be Mavorek them. So obviously they're acting as Ishmael. I mean, he wants to give them a bracha. Hello, Rabbi Akiva, bracha l'kainim inole. So indeed, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Ani Avorachem is referring to Yisrael. Where is there a bracha for the Kohanim? Amar Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, what do you mean? It says Avorach, Amar Avorach. So if someone blesses you, I will bless him. So if a Kohen blesses Yisrael, then obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bless the Kohanim. That's all the way back in the time of Avraham Avinu. Why do I need a separate bracha? As Tosis brings the Maisa and the Yerushalmi from a certain goy said to Rabbi Yishmael. He said, and this is Rabbi Yishmael himself was made it. So he said to him, Shalom Aleichem. So Rabbi Yishmael said back to him, your bracha is already written in the Torah. I'm going to have to answer you. You want to give a bracha to a Jew? Your shalom is already guaranteed. So So wait a second. But if that's the case, it means that Rabbi Akiva has also made it, that there's a bracha to the Kohanim. So I mean, why is Rabbi Yishmael the one who's being misayeh the Kohanim? It's just a question of where you're darshan it from. But they're both made that you have the bracha to the Kohanim. So my misayeh lekani, no, that's because Rabbi Yishmael is saying the mukila lebirchas kani and b'mokum bracha to Yisrael. In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a general bracha. Anybody, but even a goy would give a bracha to a Jew would be mizbarech. According to Rabbi Yishmael, we're looking for special bracha that's given miyucha to the kohanim because of birchas kohanim. So that's a siyula lekani. Indeed, if not for that, we'd have to say that it's very strange that Rabbi Yishmael should be the one who says that to the goy, you don't need a bracha, you already have a bracha. So why over here does he say that the kohanim need a bracha? Alad of Chadis is looking specifically for a bracha that should come from the Chalois of Birkas Kayanim, not stam from the general bracha, which is Chal even on Oide Kachodim. So, what is this anyway? You're quoting Rav Yishmael Shomar Mishum Avotav. But somehow that teaches me that the fat that's on the stomach is considered to be kosher. By the way, just as a background, in the Gemara we utilize the word shuman to mean kosher fat, and the word chalev to mean non-kosher fat. Rashi says before in the Perek that there's no difference between, in Lashon HaKodesh and the Mocha, there's no difference between chalev and shuman. Chalev is the way to refer to all fats, whether they're kosher or non-kosher. And the idea of shuman is something that the Chachomim were mechadish at the time of the Mishnah to be mechalek between the two types of fat more easily, instead of having to say chalev tor, chalev tameh. So they said shuman to make kosher and chalev to say that it's not kosher. However, the Ramban and Chumash points out that shuman, the difference between shuman and chalev is actually built into the nature of the word. Because, as we're going to see, chalev exists as a separate entity that can be peeled off of an organ easily. Whereas shuman, that's why it doesn't seal, whereas shuman actually is part of the fat of that organ. And therefore, in the same way that you would say a piece of meat that is shmeina, you view the shuman coming from it as shuman of the meat. So lemaisa, it's very different, and its mocker is, in fact, in the meaning of the word in Lashon HaKodesh, says Rambam. It's not just a way that we easily refer to two types of fat. So what is this maimer of Rabbi Shmuel Shomer Mishum Avotav that the Kayanim are allowed to eat the chalev shal gabei kibamai, the Tanya? The eight called ha-chalev asher al ha-keref. Now, the question is, what is that eight called ha-chalev asher al ha-keref referring to?
What's so good about that?
I don't know, it just seems to be separated.
Hmm?
Yeah.
There's a good picture.
This is a nice picture for tomorrow's tomorrow. Okay, so leave it here. Let's see. Okay. Try to control yourself just for a few minutes. All right, first violins, are you ready? Okay, we got the brass on the other side. You're ready. Here we go. So, what is the pasuk kol ha-chalev? What is it coming to be, Marav? Now remember that anything that's got to be put up onto the mizbeach, that's the chalev that's usur for us to eat. But not on the mizbeach. That's the lachvash of mizbeach. So the edge to the kol ha-chalev comes to be marba, the chalev sha'al gabei hadakin, and that's referring, as we'll see later on, to the first amma along the intestines. And that chalev itself is considered to be chalev. That's what Rabbi Yishmael says. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's lavi chalev sh'agabe ha-keva. It's actually going to answer the chalev on the keva itself. Now, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the reason that we're answering, why is it reasonable to say that the kol ha-chalev is coming to add the intestinal fats? That's because the chalev sha'al ha-kerev itself, which is a thick membrane of chalev that runs along the outside of the animal, as you see here, chalev sha'al ha-kerev. See if you can find in there an actual photograph.
Isn't this right here?
Yeah, but you don't see it here. They took it off. They took off the chalev shal ha-kerev. Here, where's the chalev shal ha-kerev? They don't show here. Here they removed it so that you should see it. You see a tiny little bit that's left. Yeah. So, the white. Okay, so here you can see where they peeled it off in this picture, in the large book. Yeah, but there's very little left. There's a tiny piece of the cherub on the bottom. But anyway, the first part of the intestines, they show it here, is to show, here, they peel away in two layers in the art scroll, very nicely done. They peel away in two layers. That's tomorrow's tomorrow. In order to show where the chelev amechaseh et hakerev, which is the kerev being just a general sense of the inside cavity of the animal, if you peel it away, Richie, you can see that at the bottom it's attached to the intestines.
Okay.
Now, that attachment makes, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the first piece of chelev that goes down, extending into the intestines.
The battery is very low, so you might want to switch.
No, okay. Here we go. Baruch Hashem. Got a battery. Thank you, Mr. Baruch. And we're back online. Fine. So now we had another very similar case. We had another very similar case of Minyumen Kanduska. Minyumen, the candy man, actually it means the potter, the guy who used to come around in his little wagon selling pots. He had a whole container of honey that was left uncovered. It was quite a shame to throw out. Also, the Kami, the Rava, he comes to Rava, he asks, what's the din about uncovered honey? And Rava said, what's the problem of uncovered honey? First of all, it says that Shloisha Mashkim are Asur Mishum Gilui. We quoted this before, the Mishnah, that says three things are Asur of Gilui. Yayim, Mayim, V'cholav. Now, that does not equal honey. That's wine, water, and milk. V'shar Kol HaMashkim Mutarim. So anything else would be mutter. Besides which, HaTerech Chosam HaMayim Shal Yisrael, you wouldn't want poor Minyumen Kandakar to lose any money. So if a few thousand people drop dead here and there, at least that Torah costs someone to show yourself. Amalei Ramakba Yitzchak Rava, what the heck is going on over here again, you with this reform rabbi stuff? First of all, you have Rabbi Shimon Shita. Rabbi Shimon Shita is, as we'll see, that honey is also Mishum Gilui, because you could find dangerous Nechoshim that may inject venom into honey. So you're dealing with a question of sakonis defashis, which certainly was supposed to be machmeron, and you're spouting atera kosa mamonim shal Yisrael. What's going on over here? By the way, which Rabbi Shimon is it? The Tanya, the bride that says chamisha in ben mishum gilui. There's five mashkin where there's no problem of gilui. Tzir, v'chometz, shemen, udvash, umurias. Now, Sistatus explains it doesn't mean dafka, these five, but since these five are makhlokas, because we said before, other things, the shakalamash and mutarim, but since there are makhlokas on these five, the Tanakam is saying, these five do not have a problem of gilui. Rabbi Shimon Amar, they do so. Atein yesh b'mishum gilui. Furthermore, says Rabbi Shimon, I myself, ani ra'iti nachash, I saw myself a snake drinking tzir in tzidon. That proves that snakes will drink tzir. Tzir is like a fish juice in a brine, a salty juice. And murias actually has pieces of dog in it.
It's a piece of what?
That's the fish inner of the murias. Omrulo, like a chomit said, that nachash? He was an escapee from the insane asylum. Shatyahavi was a nut. Aimevim rayim and ashaitim. You don't bring riots from nuts. You were talking about normal things.
Showed him that he was drinking, or showed him that he was drinking? The water, the fish brine, he was drinking the fish brine.
Omarlay, odily mias betia? So at least admit that seer is not a problem. Come on, Mr. Shimon. I mean, Rav Pop and Ravuna Brave and Mishur Abonin, when they had a problem of something that does have a problem of Gili, they would throw it into a container of tzir, which would make it drinkable. Because the tzir actually counteracts
the venom that's in it. So how could fear itself have a problem? Let's not be ridiculous. And Rav Shimon said back to him, on the contrary, Odalim Miyavidvach, you should at least admit that when it comes to honey, you got a problem. Because Rav Shimon ben Elazar, the Stam Rav Shimon is Rav Shimon by your kind, Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds like me, the Tanya Vachenoya Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Oser Bidvach. So for sure, in this case, you should be Machmer on the Dvach, and Oser Minyumin Kandakos, Dvach, all purpose panacea in his little wagon.
Snake oil.
That's why they call it snake oil, you see, with Mamish because of his sugya. Okay, I'll leave you alone. Let you go home.
So that we're going to get the battery in
everybody. If the president's getting up, 8:15.